And good morning, everyone. This is your host, Brother John Rothacker. It's good to be with you once again today. And today we'll be sharing some information I think that's very important, very significant. And you may want to call a friend or pastor and suggest that they tune in. We're going to be talking today about the perversion of the Word of God. Nothing could be more important, because it's the Word of God that brings us truth, that gives us life. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." When that Word of God, when that bread is corrupted and perverted, then the soul that's eating it is going to get sick and possibly die. And we're not talking about just physical death, although that takes place, but spiritual death. This is why he gives in the Word of God some very strong admonitions and warning. And I want to read this to you. I think we'll read it out of the King James. It's the very last chapter of the last book and the last verses of the Bible. And this is what God has to say. He says here in this warning, and it's Jesus talking as I leaf over to it. This is the, again, the last chapter, which is chapter 22, verse 18. He says this. Verse 17, "The Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify," verse 18, "unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book." In this book. "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." These are the last words of God written that are God-breathed scripture, and a warning to us that men who distort the Word of God, pervert the Word of God, are going to pay a serious eternal penalty. Now, what we're going to be talking about today is today's New International Version perversion. In order to get into this, we really need to see the precursor of today's New International Version, of course, was the New International Version, which, due to marketing, due to the fact that it's written in a very easy-to-read English for today, which is certainly a good ambition, but due to marketing and other factors, has become extremely popular. We want to share first, I think it would be good to give you a little background on the NIV, but let me mention here the TNIV, which is an English translation of the Bible, developed by the Committee on Bible Translation, the same group that did the NIV. And it was done, the New International Version was done in the 70s. The TNIV is not a replacement, but it was published as a revision in March of 2002. And then the complete Bible was finished in February 2005. Now, the rights of the text are owned by the International Bible Society. They had formerly been New York Bible Society. They moved to Colorado Springs and became the International Bible Society, changed their name. The publisher is Zondervan, which had been raised up as an evangelical Christian communications company here in the North America. And it was sponsored, the NIV was sponsored and is owned by the International Bible Society. As I said, the NIV came out in 73 in the New Testament, and the Old Testament, the full version, was done in 78 and modified in 84. Now, we're going to be talking about two things. We're going to be talking about gender destruction, gender perversion, and we're also going to be talking about the character and the people who did the work, which is going to be most shocking to most of you. To sum it up, the NIV was done by this group of what they call Bible scholars. But it just so happened that they were heavily influenced by, one, a woman who was the consul of on the NIV that gave much input, was sent all the work to view, and was considered and listed in the Bible as a literary consultant. Her name was Virginia Mollenkott, and she is a professed open feminist lesbian. She has written a number of books that testify to this fact. This is nothing hidden. And let me just say that you can get this on the web. If you want to start getting some of your own information, I encourage you to go to the web and look up TNIV Controversy. And it will list you a lot of sites there that you can get more information than probably you'd care to read or have time to read. But you will find ample confirmation of the things that I'm going to share with you today. Another website that you might want to consider is wayoflife.org. And I'm going to begin with an article that was first published back in 2001, well, actually in 1997, and it was updated in 2001, by a Christian who titled the head of it, and you can find it there on that website at wayoflife.org, is Homosexuality in the NIV. You see, the scripture teaches us that when we sow things, we reap things. The scripture says you sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. You reap more than you sow. If I put one grain of corn in the ground, what do I get? I get a whole corn stalk, don't I? With a number of ears, each ear having many kernels. And what I'm going to share today is the sowing of the NIV in perversion has resulted in this harvest of gross perversion in the TNIV, which it does not deserve even be called a version. It would be rather called the TNIP, the Today's New International Perversion. Now, I started out with the feminist, but let me say that the leading man that was the head of the committee of the Old Testament, of the NIV, also was a homosexual. Admitted and wrote a paper substantiating his homosexuality in that he agreed that and said in his view that the Old Testament never condemned the homosexual lifestyle. This is where these people are. You can read it in their books and their publications, their statements, and we want to go over a little of that with you today. What's the consequence of this? Well, as I say, You sow perversion, you reap a tremendous harvest. And as the Word of God warns us, if you even take out a little bit from the book of Revelation, God says you've lost your soul. They have started in Genesis chapter 1, and the number of changes of gender perversion that they have accomplished is a total of 2,776 in the Old Testament and another 900 in the New. That's over 3,676. I remember that because the scholars that have pointed that out have mentioned it was 1,000 more in the Old Testament than our 1776 when this country was started. And then you add 900 in the New Testament. It is a gross distortion, and we want to bring a few of those examples to you today to show you that it is not what the publishers of the TNIV or the NIV have said. They'd like to call this new one, this new gender inclusive, they would like to call it gender accurate. But those that have studied it know better. It's not gender accurate, it's gender neutral. They have demasculinized the scriptures, in a sense. One of the first translations that did this, by the way, was the Revised Standard Version, which was controlled by the National Council of Churches. And if any of you know their background, that came out of the communist, Federal Council of Churches, I think it was, back in the early 1900s, and then became the National Council. And where they are today, you'll start to understand this. They have put forth the lectionary Bible, you know, that, and have are moving toward God as a woman. Now, they gave an order to the Revised Standard Version people to mute the patriarchal culture of the original culture of the Old Testament. This was an order to come up with a new translation to mute that patriarchal culture and change it. And so they came up with the new Revised Standard Version, which is also a perversion. Let me shock some of you. I'm going to mention the ones that are considered. This is in Dr. Gruden's book, and the dates of when this these other versions came out. They're all, of course, new. But the TNIV came out in 2005. That's today's New International Version. The NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version, was in 89. The CEV, Contemporary English Version, was 1995. The Good News Bible, or today's English version, second edition, was in 1992. The New Living Translation, 1996. I believe he was the one that after he did it, he lost his voice. He's now dead. The NCV, or the New Century Version, which was 87 and then again in 91. These are the ones that like to call themselves gender inclusive. They want to think that they're gender accurate, but we'll show you that this is not the case at all. There are incidental places in the scriptures where the word anthropos, like in the Greek, which means mankind, men or women, could be translated and are to be understood as including both men and women. And that you can usually tell by the context. It's easy. But there are other, like the word aner, which means man, that they will want to translate and pervert to include women, and that is because of their feminist agenda and their PC mentality, their politically correct mentality and spirituality. Now, it is also interesting to know who is behind these things. As I said, the Zondervan publishes it. Over half of their income, it's reported, is due to the money from the NIV. And some of the scholars that did the work made statements. They had no idea when they started that there were millions and millions of dollars involved. Why do these companies keep coming out with new versions? We're talking about multiple millions. We're talking about the book that sells more in the world year after year than any other book. And if you can get control of that and control its sales, you make a lot of money. And so the world went after Christian music and Christian books and started gobbling up these companies. Many, in fact, I heard a report several years back, there was hardly a music company that wasn't in ownership by the world. Well, the same has happened to Bible publishers as they're able, and Zondervan was sold out. And it's now a division of HarperCollins Publishers, which is a subsidiary of News Corp, which is owned and operated by its CEO, K. Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox and other media outlets. Now, let me say right up front that when you distort the Word of God, you cannot be walking in the Spirit of God. And so they first came out with a perversion of the NIV over in England some years ago. And some of you may remember, if you've listened to Focus on the Family, that James Dobson and many others were, D. James Kennedy that's on this station and many others, and other well-known leaders were very concerned. They met together, quite a large group of leaders and scholars met together with the Zondervan people and the International Bible Society people, and they agreed. In 2002, the publishers agreed that they would not bring this to America, that they would not publish this in this country. Now, the truth is they lied, because they never changed their position of pursuing with their translating committee to continue to work on the NIV to change it into the TNIV. And what happened was they got their translation done, they got it published and printed and ready, boxed up for distribution, and just before it was to go on sale, they told the committee that they had signed the agreement with 3 years earlier, we no longer want to keep this agreement.
Just like that.
Broke it and within days put the TNIV on the market. Now, what does that mean? It means they're liars. Because all those so-called scholars and the people of Zondervan and the people of the International Bible Society knew for those 3 years that they were what they were pursuing. They knew what their intentions were. And yet they told all these fine Christian leaders of this country that they were not going to do this. They lied. And I want you to see that, because when you listen to debates of people on both sides, they want to ignore that or even lie about their lies and try to cover up the history of the NIV and then the history of the TNIV. Now, to show you, maybe I'll just give you one scripture to begin with, where they start perverting gender roles. They start in Genesis 1:27, where it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." I've checked it out in several Hebrew texts, which with the Dead Sea Scrolls we know is accurate. We know is exactly the Word of God. It means and says exactly what it means and says. But what do these perverters come up with? They have changed that verse to say that, and I'll read it to you. Well, I'm talking about Jesus there. They have said that, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them instead of him. Male and female, he created them. What they're trying to do is make it that there's no difference between men and women in any way of function. And you remember recently the great flap that happened at Harvard. It was started by Christians, you remember. Now the due to the scientific research, made a comment in one speech that because of the results in mathematics were different between men and women, perhaps there was a difference. And these perverted people in that university came down on him so hard and harassed him and harangued him and forced him to resign from Harvard. This was just this year. They will not countenance any difference, whether it's scientifically proven or not. This is their agenda, and the reason is they are under a scripture, which I want to give you in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and following, where God has warned us in this end time that the Holy Spirit was prophesying way back in the time of Paul writing that in this end time there would be this great falling away of the faith. And it says that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. They shall apostatize. The Lord had me read it today in the Amplified, and it translated it, turn away from the faith. You could translate it a number of different ways. What the word apostasy means, you see, it means to turn away. It means to depart, to leave, to fall away from. Some of your translations will say from the faith, giving heed. That means literally holding on to, grasping them, and hanging on to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared as with a hot iron. And it goes on to mention two particular areas, forbidding to marry, which is getting into this realm of sexuality, and two, commanding to abstain from certain foods that God wants you to eat. And he goes on there. What we want to share with you and help you to see is that there are spirits that are influencing these people, and they influence this woman, and she's not a young woman anymore, but they influenced her when she was just a young girl. She's now much older. I'm not sure. She's at least in her 50s, maybe 60s. But I want to read from you the article, Homosexual in the NIV, which is available on the web from wayoflife.org. It says that her name, Virginia Malincott, she's a pro-abortion feminist who claims to be a left-leaning evangelical. In reality, she denies the very God of the Bible and worships an idolatrous female god of her own imagination. It mentions how she grew up in a fundamentalist-type circles, and she was a consultant, literary consultant, to the translating committee of the NIV. She was involved with this project from her own writing until its completion. Now, when you get people wanting to debate this, the NIV people, they want to deny she had anything to do with it. But in a book, she talks about all the things that she did from the beginning to the end. They lie all the way through to try to cover their tracks. They didn't cover it enough at the beginning because they had her name printed in the Bible as one of the officials that took part in it. Now, in 78, this was long before these perverted editions came out, she co-authored a book with another woman, Letha Scanzoni, entitled Is the Homosexual My Neighbor?, in which she calls for non-discrimination toward homosexuality. And the book argues that the Sodom account in Genesis does not teach the evil of homosexuality, but the evils of violent gay rape and inhospitality to strangers. The book also claims that the idea of a lifelong homosexual orientation or condition is never mentioned in the Bible. That's on page 71. And that Romans 1 does not fit the case of a sincere homosexual Christian. Page 62. Now, in 79, she participated in a conference with the Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches. You know, that's the largest homosexual denomination in the country, in which they worked together. She elated about the celebration of Christ that she had when she said she attended there. In the 1980s, this Mollenkott, Virginia Mollenkott, was also a member of the National Council of Churches Committee that produced an inclusive language lectionary which addressed God in feminine terms. And at a news conference at the NCC's governing board meeting on November 10th, 83, she claimed that there's some evidence that Jesus Christ was really a woman. I want you to think about that for a minute. I'll come back and add a statement or two out of her own mouth, but I see that it's time for some news. We'll stop for a moment. We'll be right back. Hold on to your seat. You'll need your seatbelt. And hello, everyone. This is your host, Brother John Rothacker. We're back on the air, and we're going to continue a little bit on this Virginia Mollenkott, one of the literary agents that had great influence in perverting the NIV and then the TNIV. I want to read you, though, a few more quotes from her that will maybe shock you. She wrote an article in 1987 claiming that, of course, homosexual clergywoman, any refusal to ordain those is unscriptural discrimination. In 91, of June 91, in the Episcopal Monthly, entitled The Witness, she said, "My lesbianism has always been a part of me. I tried to be a heterosexual. I married myself off. But what I did not ultimately realize was that God created me as I was and that this is where life was meaningful." Then she wrote in 93 a book, Sensuous Spirituality, and Out from Fundamentalism, in which she makes statements like this, quote, "In a physical sense, we are all gay, we are all lesbian, we are all heterosexual, we are all bisexual, because we are all one," page 153. Her view of the kingdom of God on earth is a society in which, quote, "lesbian women, bisexual people, and gay men are going to be accepted as first-class citizens in the church and in society as a whole." Now listen to this statement, because it'll tie in with Romans chapter 1, if you remember that. Mollenkott claims that providing mutual sexual pleasure, whether it be homosexual or bisexual or whatever, is one of the most important things in life. Now, you see, this points out to that driving spirit of lust that Paul writes about in Romans chapter 1. Now, what does she think about God? Well, this is a quote. She says, "As an incest survivor, I can no longer worship in a theological context that depicts God as an abusive parent," referring to Christ's death on the cross, "and Jesus as the obedient, trusting child." In 94, she published The Divine Feminine, the biblical imagery of God as female. In this book, she describes God as the one mother of us all, end of quote. In the year 2001, in the publication Omnigender, a Trans Religious Approach, she said, among other things, she describes her aversions to wearing dresses. She says, quote, "One of the greatest benefits of coming out publicly as lesbian was that I could go through my closets and give away all my dresses and skirts, except for a few Gertrude Steinish floor-length," that was a pro-feminist woman, "floor-length skirts that somehow seemed less an affront to my nature." Well, I could go on and on, but I want to get, you can read more of it if you go onto the web, look up the article, Homosexuality and the NIV. I want to go now to the head of the committee that did the Old Testament, the actual head of the committee. His name was Martin Woodstra, and he was not just a member of the committee, but he was the head of the Old Testament committee, and he was a friend of Evangelicals Concerned. Now, that is an organization, Evangelicals Concerned Incorporated, sometimes identified as ECI, is just a large group of a nationwide task force and fellowship for gay and lesbian, quote, evangelical Christians, and their friends. In other words, people who profess to be Christians and believe the gospel and yet are homosexuals. It's their special organization. It was started by a Dr. Blair, a psychiatrist, and a friend, very good friend, of this head of the translation committee of the NIV, Martin Woodstra. And he testifies about Dr. Woodstra's homosexuality. He confirmed that. The doctor himself wrote a paper claiming that homosexuality was okay. He wrote and stunned the conservatives who at a meeting he was at, that he said this: "We cannot go to the Old Testament to formulate our views on homosexuality." He stated that there was nothing in the Old Testament that corresponded to homosexual orientation and monogamous, lifelong, loving relationships among gay people today. He said the sodomy of the Old Testament simply involved temple rites and gang rape. Now, that's what I want to start showing you, is how they perverted the NIV. They took out everything comment about sodomy, and they changed the wording to where instead of sodomite, it would be translated a temple prostitute. And then, of course, they claim that, well, we're not prostitutes. We're not charging for our perversion. And that they claim by saying it's a temple prostitute that it involved idolatry and that that was the real sin, not the sin of homosexuality. And so they got all the majority of that translating committee to go along with them and change the language. Because it's reported by this Dr. Blair that many on the committee were friends of the ECI, these homosexual so-called Christians. Now, I want to take you, because of the limit of time, I want to go into the New Testament and show you how they did it in a scripture that you're probably familiar with. And this is in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, where we read in the King James, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." He goes on and lists some more wicked sins, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the NIV, some of you have it, so look at it. They changed that word effeminate to translate, nor male prostitutes. So you can see what they're doing. They're blunting the fact of an actual homosexual act to trying to say it pertains to prostitutes only. Then God, because he didn't want us to miss it, he mentioned it twice there. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. King James is translated to read, nor homosexual offenders. And you don't pick this up unless it's pointed out to you, but what they're doing is saying, we're not offending anybody. You see, this doesn't apply to us good Christians. We're not offending people. We're entering into mutual relationships with other people where they want the same thing that I want, they say. We all want the same thing. We're not offending. We're not raping people. We're not doing those kind of sins. And so this is how they got by and perverted the NIV. Now, you can check that out in your own. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, where it's changed. Now, they've changed it again in the TNIV, and they've used, I believe, I don't have it right in front of me, I got it in this stack of paper, instead of homosexual offenders, they use a different term there, but it's still, they've got the wiggle room there, that they've added a word there to keep from including themselves. You see, they've taken out this word sodomy throughout the Old Testament, which according to Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, I have one, says, copulation with a member of the same sex or with an animal. They've changed that, you see. And can be seen. It says sodomy implies more than homosexual behavior, but Dr. Mollenkopf was not interested in the human-beast relationship. She was only concerned about justifying the same-sex relationship of sodomy. So they took all that out. And in this article I referred you to, they give you all the Old Testament scriptures, and they'll give you the King James and the NIV, and you can look it up in the TNIV then by going to another website I just want to refer you to for Bible. If you want to ever go on the web, you can go up to a Bible site called Gateway, BibleGateway.org, and they have all the Bibles there. You can select which translation you want, put in the scripture you want, and it'll pop up immediately, and you can check all this out for yourself. I've got mine geared to five translations. I can put one verse in, and it'll pop up these five translations that I want to come up with, like the King James, the Amplified, the New American Standard, and then the NIV and the TNIV, and you can see it all right there real quick. BibleGateway.org will give you that information. Now, because we don't have a lot of time, I got pages, probably 25, 30 pages of information, but I will share with you from 1 Timothy 4. Well, let me go to Acts, maybe give you one more where they show you where they pervert the gender, where they're trying to get men and women the same. And that is from in Acts, when Paul, you remember, calls the elders of the church there in Ephesus together. He gives them some instruction in Acts 20, verse 28. And he says something there that's very interesting. He says, "After my departure shall grievous wolves enter in, not sparing the flock. And he says, even of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Well, they didn't understand perverse things because they perverted the very scripture. What they do, they take out the word men, shall men arise, and it says, shall some arise. You see, they want to allow for women elders, women in all positions of authority. Now, they like to say that nothing was changed about Jesus. Well, let me shoot that down. Let me read from you here in a scripture, the King James, which says this about Jesus. It says, "Wherefore in all things," you'll recognize the scripture, "it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Now, notice it says, made like unto his brethren. That's the priesthood, because all the priesthood, you remember, were men. They were Levites. They had to be men. They had to be Levites. They had to be married to women a certain way, purity. Then the high priest was selected. This is the way the TNIV reads. "For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." You can see they're trying to allow what they've been doing, and I've got the documentation how this woman appeared at the conference of one of the denominations and influenced them. And this is, you're wondering why these denominations are coming up with their perverted rulings. It's because these same people, and like Mollenkopf, are appearing in these denominations proposing their same perversions, and this is why the Episcopal Church just elected the head, a woman priest, who doesn't even believe in Jesus as the Son of God as the only way to heaven. This is where it's leading. And this is the spirit that's behind the TNIV. Now, of course, some of you are wondering, what should I do? Well, I'd say this, if you've got the TNIV, take it back. Tell them you want your money back. And if they won't give it to you, send it back to the publisher, Zondervan. Tell them you want your money back and tell your friends your experience. Document it. And tell the bookstore you're going to do it. Because there's one big chain of bookstores that won't even sell it, thank God. They'd investigated this thing and have determined they will not stock it. Now, they will, they said, order it. I went in to check the other day. And I said, you don't have it? And they said, no, we made a decision not to stock it. They wouldn't give me much more. I said, well, what about it? Well, we can get it for you, but we won't stock it. Then I told them, they didn't know what I was until I commended them then for not stocking it, praise God. But they, most of them, the young girls working there, had no idea what I was talking about. They're just ignorant people. Yeah, it was a local store. The it's all the Lifeway stores will not stock it. But you see, this perversion needs to be destroyed, needs to be burned. If you think that's radical, then go back to your Bible and read what Paul had to say when he preached there at Ephesus and got a bunch of people converted. What did they do? They brought all the books they had that were perverted on, had been written by evil spirits, and they had a great big bonfire. This is in Acts 19:19. Those which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all. And they counted the price of them and found it at 50,000 pieces of silver. That's 50,000 times a day's wages. Do you realize how much that was worth? We're talking about a huge sum of money. You count a, you know, what a day's wages is worth and multiply it by 50,000, and you got a whole lot of, that's a big bonfire, I can tell you that. That was a big one. And that's what we need to do to this translation. It's not a translation. It's a not a version. It's a perversion. Today's New English Version, which is the perversion of the NIV, which sowed the seeds of this perversion, where they took out and hid and masked the real sins of homosexuality and sodomy, taking the, even the word out. And this sowed the seeds of the whirlwind that we've now reaped, that they're trying to get you to buy, and some of you may have it under the Christmas tree. I'd encourage you to get that, unwrap it before the day and get rid of it and take it back and get a translation, a modern translation if you want, that doesn't pervert the Word of God, because there are spirits involved here. And I'm involved with a situation like right now with some men where the man has perverted the Word of God by using these translations, and he's getting so perverted he wants to call the King James an anti-woman translation, because you see he's under that spirit and his translation doesn't put out the truth that his Bible does, that he brings with him everywhere. We're dealing with spirits, we're dealing with bondage, we're dealing with a battle for the Word of God, beloved. And so I encourage you to go onto the web if you have access, or go to the library and get access. Just look up the TNIV controversy and give yourself as much time as you can, because you'll want to read and read. It'll just give you more information. It'll just amaze you what's there, the statistics. And then maybe get a book by Wayne Grudem that'll point out these 3,676 times in the Bible where they have perverted the Word of God as far as gender. They've made it gender neutral rather than gender accurate. And you don't want to read a Bible and study a Bible like that, because it will pervert you. And you'll be influenced by the same spirits. You see, why do homosexuals, so many of them testify that they became homosexuals when they were attacked as a young person by a homosexual? There was a transference of spirit. If you expect a transference of the Holy Spirit when you read the Holy Word, what are you going to get when you transfer to you when you read a perverted scripture where God in His Word condemns these people to hell for taking out anything out of His Word? This is much more than just a few things. This is the from beginning to end. What kind of a transference do you expect? Well, we're running out of time, so let's pray. I just feel we need to pray today. Father, you've given us your word. You've given us the living word, the Lord Jesus. He was in the beginning with you. He was God. He is God. And you're not an abusive parent. You're our wonderful, caring Heavenly Father that loved us so much. You stood back and had to turn away from your Son as he died on the cross because he became sin for us who knew no sin. It wasn't his sin. It was our sin. And he was willing to pay the price for us. We want to remember that in this holy season, that what you've done for us. And we pray, God, that many people that have been taken in by this perversion will be delivered, set free. They'll become knowledgeable and understanding of what has happened and what is happening. That you'll teach people they can't serve both God and mammon. They can't pursue the goal that's going to be tried in the fire someday with eternal reward, with the goal that they want of filthy mammon in this life, filthy lucre. We pray, God, that you will move on our hearts and minds, give us more enlightenment, more understanding, give us direction. I pray for not only myself and wife, but those I'm communicating with in these very issues, other men of God, leaders in the community, that you will bring us all into a unity of the faith. Lord, we know that this particular translation is bringing more disunity than any other has ever done, and it is impossible to bring unity when you pervert the Word of God. And so, Lord, you're separating the sheep from the goats. You're separating those that are under this spirit and those that don't want to yield to this seducing spirit and doctrine of the devil. We pray for those that have come under its influence that you would set them free, you grant them repentance, that they would not be proud and rebellious and arrogant, but they'd humble themselves, and that you then would set them free, God, from this terrible deception that they have fallen under by the power of these evil spirits. We pray in the name of Jesus. I pray right now for everyone that's come under this influence. I pray for every one of us. In the name of Jesus, Father, send your delivering spirit. Send your Holy Spirit. Send your angels of light to set your people free. And I rebuke the evil one, this seducing spirit that's hovering over people. In the name of Jesus, devil, take your hands off of them. In Jesus' name, loose them and go to the pit and stay there. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for your people now. Bless them in this wonderful holy season. Fill us all with your spirit, your good and holy, righteous, moral spirit. And give us that anointing to testify and to share the good news with others, the true good news, and help us hold on to your word and be willing to even die for it as thousands have done through the centuries, given their lives for this precious word rather than deny one word of it. Oh God, give us that zeal, we pray, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to contact us, go to the web at johnrothacker.org, johnrothacker.org. You'll get information there, or write us at Box 3219, Columbus, Ohio, 43210. It's been good, been sobering, but necessary to share with you today. God bless you all in this holy season. Have a wonderful one in Jesus Christ. Amen.